Good evening. Welcome to worship on this eve of Pentecost 11, and a special welcome to our guests and visitors. I know we have several tonight. Good to have you with us as we worship our Lord and give praise to his holy name. A few announcements that I want to highlight for you. First of all, as I spent some time virtually this week with the NALC convocation in Texas, instead of flying down there, I just simply listened to the things online, and I was texting our delegate, which is Judy Cottle. She was down there with her sister, Deb Vompoff, and so they had a fabulous, wonderful experience, and we'll be giving you some of the highlights from that in the next few weeks as well. And then also, we were getting ready for Vacation Bible School, our event. We planned on doing it tomorrow out on the church land. Don Holton and others got everything ready for us. Unfortunately, we got a lot of rain today, and it sounds like more is coming tomorrow. That's good for our farmers, and we're grateful to God for that. So the backup place for that will be our house. God has blessed us with a big garage and also a big basement, and so that's where it'll be tomorrow. Still room for a couple more, so if you know of someone that would like to attend, just talk to me before you leave tonight. Thank you to Dallas Groton, my dear friend and colleague in ministry. He's going to be our guest preacher tonight. He is lightening my load from this week. Earlier today, I recorded on the YouTube and also on our Facebook page our children's message about imitating Jesus. So I encourage you to take note of that as well. Thank you, Dallas, for being with us tonight. If you have any pictures from last week's picnic out in the church land, Don Holton would like those, so please either send them my way or to Don's way, and we'll get those taken care of. If you took any pictures, that would be great. Also, this past week, we were celebrating with Margaret Quam her birthday, with Jack and Virginia Miller, their wedding anniversary, with Dave and Rachel Carl, their wedding anniversary. Today, as you know, is Arnie and Samia's 50th wedding anniversary, and they have all their family together for a celebration in northern Minnesota. And then next week on the 14th, we'll have a coffee hour fellowship in celebration of their 50 years of holy Christian marriage. And so please remember to keep Arnie and Samia in your prayers, and also Heather Mickish, it's her birthday on Monday. So we've been praying for her in the past with some of her health, and now we're going to celebrate and give thanks to God for her birthday. So lots of celebration things to keep in mind. Let's see, I mentioned about Vacation Bible School Council meeting. This Thursday will be a Zoom meeting instead of an in-person one. And then also Emmanuel Epistle Newsletter and Prayer Calendar are both available in printed form. When you came in, this is the service of communion. Did everyone receive their communion cup? That has the bread and the wine, which is consecrated as the body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. And we'll receive that later in our service, all together as members of the one body of Jesus Christ. Let's rise as we are able for our entrance song, O Bread of Life from Heaven.
Riven and a clear eye in heaven. praise.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In the beginning was the Word. In the Word was life.
And the life was the light of all people.
The Word became flesh and lived among us.
And we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth.
We sing together our scripture song, Word of God, come down on earth. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, through your extravagant love, sustain us with the living bread that is Jesus, that so nourished we may live in love for you and love others, just as Christ has loved us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the hearing of God's word. Our first reading is recorded in 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then Elijah was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm for today, Psalm 34, verses 1 to 8, and we'll read it responsively. I will bless the Lord at all times.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul makes its boast in the Lord.
Let the humble hear and be glad.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me.
And let us exalt his name together.
I sought the Lord, and he answered me. Those who look to him are radiant.
And their faces
This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him
and saved him out of all his troubles.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Our second reading from Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, chapter 4, verse 17 through chapter 5, verse 2. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise as we are able for our Alleluia gospel verse.
Alleluia, to whom shall we go?
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowd, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that comes down from heaven. And they said, is it not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, for I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father has sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of this world is my flesh. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated.
Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. I couldn't believe that I actually held it in my hand. Yes, I held a record album. And as I looked at that record album, I could see the two big words on the top of the cover of that album. It said, Beatle Beat. And I looked beneath those words, and I saw this picture of four young men, and they had mop top long hair, and some of them were holding on to guitars. And the Beatles, they'd only been on television a few days ago, but already they seemed to be turning the world upside down. I knew they were turning Central Junior High upside down in Albert Lea. I wasn't even a teenager. I was in seventh grade. And I didn't even know if I liked the Beatles. But I thought if I could somehow possess this album, this Beatles album, then I would really be something. But there's no way I can afford a Beatles album. But I looked at the price on the cover of this album, and I could see that it cost less than a dollar, 99 cents. That can't be. A Beatles album has to be at least four times that amount. But 99 cents, I think I could afford that. So I decided to buy that album. And I took it home and I put it on a record player. And I better stop here for a second because I realize I'm hopelessly dating myself. There are probably some of you out here who've never heard of the Beatles, or even know who the Beatles are, or know what a record album is. So I apologize, but I'm gonna keep on going here. So I put that record album of the Beatles on this record player, put the needle on the groove of the first song, which was She Loves You, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. And you know, I didn't even know if I liked the Beatles, and I didn't know, I hadn't really heard them that much, but when I heard the music and the singing coming out of this record player, I knew it wasn't the Beatles. It sounded like actually four cowboys singing around a campfire. And then my brother, my older brother, bless his heart, he kind of set me straight. He grabbed that record album and he probably called me a name or two, but we won't go into that. And he said, look at the top of this record album. It says Beatle Beat. Look at the word Beatle. It's spelled B-E-E-T-L-E, like the bug. And the real Beatles spell their name B-E-A-T-L-E-S. And look at that kind of fine print above the pictures of those four guys in mop top haircuts. That gives the name of the rock band that made this album. Bugs. The Bugs. B-U-G-G-S. Well, needless to say, my seventh grade self was extremely disappointed because I realized the Bugs were not the Beatles. As a matter of fact, the Bugs were a very cheap imitation of the Beatles, a 99-cent imitation. You know, this evening, we've heard about imitators, because after all, there was this guy named Paul who a long time ago wrote a letter to a church in a place called Ephesus. And in this letter, he exhorted members of that congregation to say, he exhorted members of that congregation saying, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Imitators of God, that was quite an assignment for these church members, and I'm sure maybe some of you are glad that Paul didn't send that letter to Emmanuel Lutheran Church here in Rochester. But nevertheless, that letter to the Ephesians that Paul wrote eventually became part of Holy Scripture. And we have it here tonight as part of God's written word. And as it is read, Jesus' voice rises out of it. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. God is speaking to us to be imitators of God. What? What's the context here? Well, if we're to be imitators of God, we have to remember that the God we worship is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that Son came to earth 2,000 years ago and was enfleshed as Jesus of Nazareth. Now, a lot of people don't realize that Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ, is God. In fact, Jesus Christ is, only God we know. There is no other God. If you want to know what Jesus is, or if you want to know what God is like, look to Jesus. So, to imitate God, we need to imitate Jesus, and we need to imitate him as beloved children, as it says in the Word. For after all, Jesus, the Christ, the Son, is certainly a beloved child of God. And through Christ's death and resurrection and our baptisms, we too are children of God. So Jesus is our big brother in the faith. And oftentimes, little brothers and little sisters look up to their big brother. And yes, imitate him. We are called to imitate Jesus. But not only that, let me backtrack a few verses in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. In verse 31, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God. We are to imitate Jesus in the forgiveness he showed. Now, I want to ask, how's that going to work for us? You know, if an angry crowd was to drag me outside of Rochester,
and start to make fun of me, maybe laughing at me for believing back in seventh grade that the bugs were actually the Beatles. And if that making fun of me were to escalate into mockery, and that escalate into beating on me, calling me all kinds of names, ramming thorns upon my head, and to add insult to injury, nailing me to a cross until I was dead, I doubt if some of the last words I would say is, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Those are the words that Jesus said in his prayer for the people who actually crucified and killed him. And you know what? That is Jesus' forgiveness. We read in Psalm 103, verse 12, that as far as the east is from the west, and that's a long, long ways, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Yes, that too is Jesus' forgiveness. Our sins are forgiven because of Jesus, and God casts those sins so far, hurls them away, so that they're out of his memory. And that's a long, long way. That is Jesus' forgiveness. Can we forgive that way? Or is our forgiveness, or what we think is forgiveness, not an imitation of Jesus' forgiveness, but a very cheap imitation, a 99-cent imitation, so cheap it does not look like Jesus' forgiveness at all? You know, I sometimes think I forgive somebody. And I say I forgive somebody. But if the sin against me has been pretty brutal, I won't throw memory of what that person did to me, how they sinned against me, I won't throw that far out of my memory. Instead, the dislike I have for that person may grow into hatred, and I may find myself fantasizing and thinking about all the bad things that should happen to that person who sinned against me. Is that Jesus' forgiveness? Is that imitation of Jesus' forgiveness, or is it a cheap imitation, a 99-cent imitation, to be exact? Oh, I know forgiveness is very, very difficult. I can forgive the bugs for not being the Beatles, but when I think of maybe a prisoner of war who had to witness his comrades in arms being tortured and maybe even killed before his eyes, and perhaps he himself was tortured, is it easy for that prisoner of war to forgive the person who tortures? No, I don't think so. What of the child who lost his or her father because of the reckless driving of an intoxicated person? And even as that child grows into maturity, is it easy for that child to forgive that drunken driver? Forgiveness is very, very hard. It's as if we need to be a totally different person, have a new self to forgive as Jesus forgave, the Jesus that we are called to imitate and to imitate his forgiveness. If you have trouble forgiving as Jesus forgives, I'm in total sympathy with you, because I have trouble forgiving with Jesus' forgiveness as well. Yes, I have trouble. Because I can acknowledge, as I'm sure all of us can, that forgiveness has to be one of the most heroic of Christian virtues. And I am so thankful, as I'm sure all of us here are, that our God is indeed Jesus Christ and demonstrates forgiveness because he's the God of forgiveness and mercy. I'm so glad for that. But when it comes for me to have to forgive somebody as Jesus forgives, well, you know, I kind of have problems with that. That's very difficult and hard. It seems like there is so much human atrocity committed by one human being against another that sometimes to forgive seems downright immoral. It's so very hard to forgive. It's easy to walk away from Jesus' type of forgiveness of others and say, well, I'm going to let Saint What's-His-Name or Saint whatever forgive because they might have some special holiness that I don't have. So I'm not going to forgive. No, I'm just going to go on with my life and hope everything will be all right. If you've ever felt that way, as I said, I'm sympathetic to it. But if we walk away from forgiveness of others, the Bible warns us that we are walking on extremely dangerous spiritual ground. You see, if we don't forgive, then that can become a habit, and habits can turn into ways of life. And all the things that Paul says that we should put away from us, like bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander, that almost seems to become a part of us when we don't forgive. And then, oh yes, there are those very chilling words of Jesus himself. Jesus, who died for us so that we can be forgiven. He says in Matthew 6, but if you do not forgive people their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we face a dilemma. What are we going to do? We look to Jesus. And what does he say to us tonight in John chapter 6? I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus is the bread of life. We need that bread for true life because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If we do not live in Christ, we do not have true life. We have a cheap imitation of how God would want us to live. We need to live in Christ and participate in his life. But that's not something we can do by our own strength and power and sweat and by doing good deed after good deed. No, no. We live in Christ purely by the mercy and grace of God through the gift of faith that he gives us. For when we are baptized, Jesus wraps his arms around us and draws us into himself, so we live in Christ. You know, it says in Ezekiel chapter 37, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and you will keep my judgments and do them. Well, at your baptism, that Holy Spirit was put inside of you. And Martin Luther says, in the explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed in his catechism, that the Holy Spirit preserves people in union with Jesus Christ. Because the Spirit lives within you, the Spirit that entered you at baptism, you are in union with Christ. You are one with Christ, who is God. And that's very important to remember. Yes, you are in Christ. Now, I said earlier that it seems like we need a whole new self to be able to forgive with Jesus' forgiveness. But Martin Luther tells us in his small catechism under what baptism means for daily living, that day after day, a new self should arise. Yes, after when we repent of our sins, day after day, a new self should arise to live with God in righteousness and purity forever. You do have a new self. You may not feel this new self. You may not even think this new self is here. But you have a new self. And Paul says in his letters to Ephesians, in the 24th verse, that we are to put on the new self. And that new self is created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Yes, your new self is one with Jesus. It's in union with Jesus. No, you do not become Jesus Christ, but that Christ is intimately connected to you. And that Christ, who is not dead, but rose up from the dead and ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father, that same Christ through the Holy Spirit, who is with outside of you, he is also within you to live his life in and through you, to perform his 21st century ministry on earth through you, by using you, as he does all other people who are members of his body on earth. Many bodies that Christ through the Holy Spirit lives and works through. Bring them all together, and they're the Holy Christian Church on earth at this present moment. So on a practical level, what does this mean for us and imitating Jesus and Jesus' forgiveness? Well, if you find that you just cannot forgive somebody, be honest with God. Say, Father, I cannot forgive that person, but I know you can. And I know that you live within me through the Holy Spirit. You are one with me. So forgive that person through me. Make me an instrument of forgiveness in your hands. Strengthen me. Give me help to forgive that person that I cannot forgive in the way you want me to forgive that person. And yes, our God answers prayers. And that prayer will be answered. Yes, Jesus through the Spirit, the Jesus that's outside of us, lives in and through us by the Holy Spirit. And that Jesus, when he walked the earth 2,000 years ago, lived his life so that his life could become your life. And he died so that his death could become your death. And you could live with him forever are in perfect love, joy, and peace, and bliss, and ecstasy. This Jesus, because he died on the cross for you and rose from the dead, he forgives you all your sins as you call upon his name. Yes, he will even forgive your sins of not forgiving someone else. But this Jesus will also empower you to imitate the Christ who you will never be, but who loves you with all his heart, loves you so much, he died for you. Amen.
We rise as we are able to sing our song of the day, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light.
I want to walk as a child of the light. I want to follow Jesus. God set the stars to give light to the world. The star is Jesus. In him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light in the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. Want to see the brightness of God. I want to look at Jesus. Clear sun of righteousness, shine on my path and show me the way to the Father. In him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light in the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. I'm looking for the coming of Christ. I want to be with Jesus. When we have run with patience the race, we shall know the joy of Jesus. In him there is no darkness at all. The day and the night are both alike. The Lamb is the light in the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus.
We continue with our confession. In Christ, you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him, and our heart is sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Sisters and brothers, rejoice, mend your ways, encourage one another, agree with one another, live in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
And as you are able, I invite you to share the peace of the Lord this day and in the days ahead. Congregation may be seated. At this time, we would normally receive our offering, but as we still come out of these COVID days, I remind you that we have an offering basket in the back as you leave the church, and that other people support the ministry of God in different and various ways. And we thank all of you for the support you give to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We continue now with our communion hymn, O Living Bread from Heaven. Holy God, our Maker, Redeemer, and Healer, in the harmonious world of your creation, the plants and animals, the seas and stars were whole and well in your praise. When sin had scarred the world, you sent your Son to heal our ills and to form us again into one. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Remembering, therefore, his acts of healing, his body given up, and his victory over death, we await that day when all the peoples of the earth will come to the river to enjoy the tree of life. Send your Spirit upon us and this meal. As grains scattered on the hillside become one bread, so let your church be gathered from the ends of the earth that all may be fed with the bread of life, your Son. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At the table of our Lord, dear friends in Christ, I invite you to take and eat. This is the body of Christ given for you. Take and eat. At the table of our Lord, as the body of Christ, I invite you to take and drink. Take and drink. This is the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Receive the blessing. Now may the assurance of our Lord's resurrection and the promise of his coming again strengthen you in faith and keep you in hope unto everlasting life. Amen. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, let us taste and see how gracious you are. O Jesus, feed us with yourself now and always. O Holy Spirit, give us eyes of faith to look upon our Savior and be radiant. Lord, in your mercy, Father, feed your church with the life of Christ, that we may be imitators of Jesus. By the power of your Spirit, raise your church up, that as the bride of Christ, we may be your servants of the gospel in this time and in this place. We pray that you would raise up pastors and priests and bishops and theologians to feed your people with your living word. We pray, Lord, that all people here in Rochester and throughout your world would know your goodness and your grace, your saving love. Lord, in your mercy, you fed Elijah in the wilderness, and he journeyed 40 days in the strength of that food. Grant the bread of health and salvation to all who dwell in the wilderness of suffering, all who face various illnesses. Strengthen them, O Lord, we pray, in their pilgrimage. Surround them with compassion and encouragement. Keep them steadfast in faith and strong in hope. This day, we bring before you your servant, Laura Colden, and we ask, O Lord, for her continued healing. We pray for all who are battling cancer, especially Kelly Stoyles and Jade Marzuski. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to comfort those who grieve. Melissa Orden and her family, that you would comfort the Birkeland family, and also the Blanchard family, with your presence and promise of resurrection and reunion of all the saints. Lord, we give you thanks also for the recent NALC convocation and for Lutheran Week in Corpus Christi, Texas. We pray for the safe homecoming of all the delegates and visitors there. And we pray, Lord, that you would empower us through your Holy Spirit to truly be your church. Lord, this day we also want to thank and praise you for Holy Christian Marriage, and especially for Arnie and Samia Nelson as they celebrate 50 years of marriage. Bless them, O Lord, as they continue to serve you and to rejoice in your goodness. Lord, in your mercy, incline your ear to our prayers, dear Lord,
and answer them according to your most gracious and holy will, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Our closing song, Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus.
Let us ever walk with Jesus, follow his example pure, through a world that would deceive us, and to our spirits lure. Footsteps treading, pilgrims here, our home above.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.